today is our fourth Sunday with our sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, let's do it. What fruits we have so far visited are love, patience, joy, and today, patience, no, it's kindness. Okay, so there are nine traits of Christian life which is described as the fruit of the Spirit: love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-gentleness, self-control. Okay, how many weeks are left with this sermon series? Five. Okay, this is a summer sermon series. Okay, kindness. What is a kindness? I looked up the definition of kindness in the dictionary on the internet. Dictionary on the internet, Grandma. I didn't need a heavy paper copy of dictionary yet to search through my bookshelf. The same information is found in the Google Dictionary. And the meaning of kindness is the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Is it helpful? Okay, you may say back to me, I don't need a dictionary to define kindness. I know it by default, and I get it. Yeah, we know what kindness is. Then, is a kindness different from niceness? What do you think? Okay, we will come back to this later in this sermon. I ask you to share with me the stories and words that come to your mind when you hear the traits of Christian life: kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. Yes, over the following weeks, we will think about those fruits of the Holy Spirit. And a short note from Julie Jakenik gave me enlightenment about kindness. Actually, what she said about kindness was much more helpful than the dictionary. And she wrote about what kindness is in these words: for me, kindness is giving up my seat on a crowded bus to an elderly person and seeing the appreciation in her face. Kindness is saying hello and wishing people a good day. The difference between the dictionary of definition and her description of the kindness that I found is this. She points out that kindness involves action. It's true that kind thoughts without action don't make us kind people. Again, kind thoughts without action is not something that makes us kind people. When we describe someone as a kind, we say it because we see that person do something that are considered kind. I mean, you know that. And you know that being kind means being willing to do something or to take some actions that help somebody else, even if it might be inconvenient to ourselves, because we put ourselves in their shoes in compassion, because we know that kindness comes as we obey the golden rule. As we can, would you put up the K on the screen, the next slide, for the golden rule: do to others as you would have them do to you. The kindness is about doing something. Kindness goes beyond the duty. It means doing something that you don't have to do, but you choose to do. Kindness goes beyond the reward. It means doing something you won't get paid to do. In fact, real kindness usually costs something and doesn't expect any reward. More correctly speaking, kindness is its own reward. So I'd like to introduce you to a story from the Bible, a story of King David. Yeah, why don't we let him say his story? So Nancy is going to interview King David. So let's welcome the King David and Nancy.
Your Majesty, thank you for accepting our interview request.
It's my pleasure.
Congratulations on ascending to the throne as the new king of Israel.
Thank you. It's an honor to be king, and I feel this great responsibility.
Your Majesty, when you were still a shepherd in the field, Prophet Samuel anointed you as the future king of Israel. It was still while King Saul was on the throne. Later, you showed your bravery in the face of the Philistines' giant Goliath, who was knocked down with a stone from your sling. King Saul then brought you into the palace and made you his special assistant.
That's right. In the house of King Saul, his son Jonathan and I became good friends. He was, in fact, my dearest friend, Jonathan. Recently, he died on the battlefield with his father, King Saul.
Your Majesty, not meaning to sound disloyal to the new king, but since you talk about Jonathan, let me ask you this question. Is it customary for the new king to kill every member of the old king's family, including his servants, to assure loyalty of all those remaining alive? Will you continue this tradition?
No. As a matter of fact, I recently found the only remaining heir of King Saul, his grandson, Mephibosheth, and I have invited him to my palace.
But the purpose of the visit is not to kill him. It is common knowledge that Mephibosheth was paralyzed by a fall while his servants were carrying him into hiding. The servants were reportedly hiding him from you.
No. My purpose is not to kill him, but to show him kindness.
Why would you show kindness to the grandson of King Saul? While King Saul was still alive, he repeatedly tried to kill you.
Well, it's because of Mephibosheth's father, Jonathan. You say that their family would be my enemy, but no. Jonathan repeatedly interceded for me with his father. He even saved my life. So neither Jonathan nor his son deserve death. They deserve honor.
Aren't you worried about Mephibosheth's loyalty to his grandfather?
Not in the least. It is God who put me on this throne, and it is God who will sustain me on this throne.
How will you honor him? Can you give him some specific? Can you give us some specifics?
Yes. When people heard that Saul and Jonathan had died in battle, the people of Saul's hometown assumed that I would kill all the king's relatives. So they quickly confiscated the king's family's land and divided it among the townspeople. When I discovered that Mephibosheth was still alive, I gave an order that Jonathan's land must be deeded over to Mephibosheth, and I also decreed that any harvest of crops from the land be given to Mephibosheth in accordance with the law. I have also extended an invitation to Mephibosheth and his family to have dinner with me at the palace every night for the rest of his life.
That's a remarkably generous offer. It's very kind of you, Majesty.
Well, Jonathan was a remarkably generous friend. It's the least I can do to honor his memory. Most of all, the God of Israel is the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness. To administer justice cannot be separated from showing kindness and compassion to others. When we do actions that are just and kind, we not only imitate God, but in a sense, we're actually doing such things to God.
We admire your generous kindness. Thank you for your time today. May the Lord of Israel bless you and your family.
You are most welcome.
Thank you. And now you see why I asked them to come and say the story. Because it's hard to pronounce Mephibosheth. Right? David was kind because of his action of kindness. The story tells us again that to be kind means to want to help others, to increase or comfort them, or to do something that serves or benefits them. This way, kindness puts others first, regardless of the impact that doing so will have on us. It's doing something not required, going the extra mile, and lightening another's burden, and brightening their day. That is how kindness is different from niceness. To be kind, which we now understand means doing actions of kindness, is much more than being polite. Niceness without kindness can be a way of avoiding real connection with another person. Niceness without kindness, of course, avoids conflict, but also avoids needs and pains of others, avoids really seeing or hearing them or bringing ourselves to the table. That kind of niceness keeps ourselves closed off, perhaps because we are disinterested. But when we are kind, we are giving our attention generously to what we see or hear. We are present to the other person with our whole heart and mind, with all that we are. So I'm afraid that living in an era of COVID-19 pandemic, we might lose this kindness as we simply set count on being distant from others while wanting to manage our niceness to others. Kindness, real kindness involves real connections. So please note that I don't say physical connections. We have learned that real, genuine, present connections doesn't require always a physical connections. That way, kindness means genuine interest. And it brings about change. In other words, kindness is transformative. And this is a biblical and Christian kindness because God's kindness has a power to change and transform. Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, as we can see on the screen, on the next slide, put aside all the bitterness, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Kindness cannot be shown while bitterness still occupies us. Kindness without compassion cannot be possible. The sort of kindness that doesn't forgive each other or accept each other cannot make sense. Good news is this. It is that we can cultivate such a loving, transformative kindness because the Holy Spirit desires to fill us, and because we are blessed with and can learn from Jesus, who is God's supreme kindness. Jesus knew the cost of the cross, yet he put us first. As Paul said in Titus on the next slide, when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy. In the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, the word for mercy is interchangeable with the word for kindness, loving kindness in Hebrew, hesed. So according to God's kindness, we are saved and we are sustained. And Jesus was God's kindness on two legs. He was kindness incarnate. He consistently lived the kindness that he received from God, and he taught people. Ever compassionate, he healed the blind and lepers. He welcomed the children after his disciples shooed them away. And he recognized a woman who washed his feet with precious perfume because he saw her heart of gratitude for the forgiveness she had received. And he spoke kindly to Mary, sitting at his feet, and to her sister Martha, who was busy preparing the dinner. Jesus also invited the Samaritan woman at the well to accept him as the Messiah. And Jesus refused to condemn the adulteress who was besieged by the villagers. And he called the tax collector Zacchaeus by name before Zacchaeus came down to the tree, from the tree. And these are just a few examples of Jesus' boundless kindness. We see throughout the gospel that Jesus showed extraordinary kindness and gave precious time and attention to the needs of people, physical, mental, spiritual, and social needs. In fact, Jesus crossed the barriers and broke down social taboos to show kindness by eating and drinking with people who were despised. Being a disciple of Jesus means that we ought to follow his example. We know it. Then to follow his example is to give our kind attention to people around us and to people who are new to us and to people who are being left out on the margins. And I know that you do follow Jesus' example that way. I see it in how you have welcomed me and my family and how you and I have been going through this pandemic. In this time of pandemic, coming to church online and coming to church in person now means showing your kindness, loving kindness to each other and being present to others who are your church family. As the word kindness hint, K-I-N-D-N-E-S-S, it gives us a hint. We are all of the same kindred, belonging and being connected to each other. And my confidence about your kindness was affirmed when I read an email from Reverend Dr. Claudette Haney. This name might recall your memories. She was an intern pastor during the time when Pastor Steve Foster was serving as a senior pastor here. Those of you who were here in those days might remember her as a 6 feet tall woman with a PhD. And she came to Lodi after she had been refused by 3 other pastors in Wisconsin. And she is now 82 years old. And this week she sent me a letter which begins by saying, Lodi United Methodist Church, I have long thought of my time with you as a God thing. And she continues, in 10 months, you taught me so much. The United Methodist woman taught me acceptance was being asked to pull the extra fat from the inside of dead chickens awaiting their turn to become part of a very famous pot pie. And Lorna Schneckleck taught me that if nothing else, God expects us to be realists. Joyce Anke was the chair of my committee. She did so much to help me to trust parishioners. Sheridan Foster modeled the graciousness of a very busy woman who made the time to take me for Chinese lunches. The youth were special, largely because Steve directed me to visit the homes of each of the youth. Then I was allowed to lead confirmation preparation for the half of the youth. I believe it is impossible not to love young people who pause to take their spiritual lives seriously. And I love the choir. I sang the tenor part and have great memories of choir practice and of Don Anke, who actually sang with a toothpick between his lips. And when I was preparing to leave, you gave me a friendship quilt you have made and a hand-woven stole that you had commissioned extra long. These have been treasures. The quilt has been displayed in each home I have had. And the purple stole has wrapped me in grace during every Lenten season. and this is that wall. Yes. Now I am retired and old enough to know that one of these days, I too will go home to God. You cannot have the quilt, but I want you to have the stole. It is so gorgeous. I like to think that it will be passed along to grace the season of uncomfortable honesty with a sign of enduring hope. With a sign of enduring hope. And that sign has been shown and continues to spread when you show your kindness as you follow Christ's example. I remember one quote as I come to the close of this sermon. And this quote is contributed to Mother Teresa. In this life, we cannot do great things. We can only do small things with great love. And I truly believe that small kindness done with a great love, large love, has a big impact. In fact, there is no such a thing as a small act of kindness. Every act of kindness creates a ripple that continues to spread, especially when it's started by a person to whom kindness builds into his or her character. According to the survey that the U.S. Census Bureau conducted a month and a half ago, a third of Americans are showing signs of clinical anxiety or depression. So I'd like to challenge you and myself, let's do an intentional act of kindness to one individual or one family this week, as we know that they need real connection. It doesn't need it to be a physical connection, but it should be real, genuine. And I hope you accept this challenge as the blessing of God's kindness goes with you. May the fruit of loving, compassionate, transformative kindness continues to be cultivated and born, that you may be delighted at the sweetness of that fruit. May the people whom you show kindness be able to taste and experience and rejoice in what you do for them in the name of Jesus. Let's do kindness. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.